Hello and welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Ahvayi. In the Persian Gulf islands of Bahrain, time and again throughout this past year, anti-regime protesters have staged massive marches, renewing their protests against the ruling Al-Khalifa family. But this time, it was different and much larger, for over half of the population of Bahrain came out condemning the regime, calling for its downfall. A protest called by Bahrain's top cleric and Friday prayer leader, Sheikh Isa Qassim. In this news analysis, we will discuss how close Bahrainis have come to achieving the goals of the revolution and how the United States, its allies, and Persian Gulf countries like Saudi Arabia are trying to prevent Bahrainis from reaching their goals.
Hundreds of thousands of protesters joined mass rallies called by the country's top cleric, Sheikh Isa Qassim, to demand an end to the Al-Khalifa regime. The protesters slammed the ruling family's atrocities and the suppression of its own people. They also voiced opposition to the ongoing human rights violations in their country.
This is a signal to the Emir of Bahrain, you have to watch out. Your repression of this people will not last.
The Saudi-backed crackdown on demonstrations since February last year has left scores dead and hundreds injured. Hundreds more have been detained and tortured during the year-long revolution, which only started by people calling for reforms in the kingdom.
The voice of the people cannot be ignored and cannot be undermined. The people of Bahrain wanted their freedom, they wanted their constitution, they wanted to be treated with respect and not with discrimination.
Saudi-backed forces have now resorted to using poisonous tear gas in residential areas to squash dissent. The use of such toxic chemicals supplied by the U.S. and Britain has claimed the lives of several Bahraini citizens, including an infant and a senior citizen in recent days. People in several Iraqi cities have also attended rallies in solidarity with the ongoing revolution in Bahrain. Protesters in Baghdad and the holy city of Najaf condemn Saudi interference and its brutal crackdown on opposition protesters. The British-founded Manama regime has long been criticized for its rights record and the repression of its own people. Despite calls to adhere to international law, only days ago, Manama imposed further restrictions on investigators trying to monitor the kingdom's self-announced reforms and its heavy-handed crackdown on anti-government protests. The U.S. and its European allies have turned a blind eye on Manama's deadly repression and rights abuses. But many analysts believe such conduct could only backfire to further alienate the Western countries and their allies in the region.
Truly a big day for Bahrainis. Let's discuss this. Let me introduce our guest first from the Bahrain Freedom Movement. Saeed Shahabi joins us from London. We have the former assistant professor at the University of Bahrain, Colin Gavel, who joins us from Austin, and political analyst Sarah Marusek, who joins us from Beirut. I'd like to welcome all our guests. Saeed Shahabi, I have to come first to you. This was the biggest rally, by some accounts, to date by the Bahrainis. Tell us, is it this a test of the Bahrainis' will versus the Saudi and Western-backed suppression by the regime?
Thank you very much. It is clearly, probably, the largest ever demonstration in Bahrain in the past decades, probably centuries. And it only confirms what we have been saying, that the people's resolve is still there and strong, and that both the suppression by the Al-Khalifa hereditary dictatorship and the Saudi invasion and occupation have failed. The people will not budge this time. They will continue their process of engaging in peaceful protest until they get their what they want. Of course, they want to be recognized as people, first of all, stop this political nationalization process. Secondly, they want to write their own constitution. They want to elect their own government. They don't want this regime anymore. This Al-Khalifa is an antiquated, repressive, outdated regime that has to go. However, the West is still clamping to it. And I think it is time that the West recognizes the power of the people and give away its support to this dictatorship.
Well, let me ask you, Colin Covell. Bahrain has just marked a year recently since their massive protests began, which also marked decades of marginalization. People seem to not remember the fact that the suppression has gone on for quite some time, even though the past year has marked these protests in a larger degree. At this point, what options are there for the regime?
Options for the regime? Well, they should leave. They should abdicate, and they should do it quite quickly. What happened today, Kaveh, is phenomenal. More than half the population on the streets of Bahrain. This indicates two things very clearly. One, the regime cannot disable or tarnish the unity of the people. And the people are united in their resolve. This should send a strong message to the U.S. State Department that things are never going to go back to the way they were. Secondly, it indicates that the security apparatus of the regime is unable to disable the communications, the control, and the command of the opposition's tactics and organizing. The intelligence apparatus that the opposition has is able to outsmart the regime. It sends a third message, a message clearly to the international community that things are not going to go back to the way they were. There will be no civil peace in Bahrain as long as this regime stays in power. And this is a clear message in particular to those who think they are going to participate in the upcoming Formula One race next month in Bahrain. The Formula One is the monarchy's baby. They believe this is the way to show they are a cosmopolitan regime. But as all events in the last year have indicated, they are a dictatorial, murderous regime, and their option is to go. Otherwise, they will lose out.
So, I'd like to pick up on Colin Covell's third option there in terms of the message this sends to the international community. There was no UN action. There's been no Valerie Amos. There's been no Ban Ki-moon. Purely by numbers of populations of roughly about a million, Bahrain is the biggest revolution, percentage-wise, to be the largest in what it's experienced in unlawful detentions, torture, violations of human rights. I mean, should at this point things need to be scrapped when it comes to the UN to rule them out completely due to their non-action?
Well, I think the recent uprisings throughout the region actually illustrate that the UN is quite useless when it comes to upholding peace, security, justice, human rights around the world, because otherwise people wouldn't have to take to the streets in these beautiful expressions of nonviolent civil resistance if there was a fair international community or regional structures that could help them realize their dignity and their freedoms and their rights. So, of course, the United Nations has been a failure for a long time. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a United Nations, of course, but it's quite shameful that the international community has let the people of Bahrain down. Really, that's what it comes down to. And it's not surprising, however, that the United States, for example, is not saying anything in support of the people and is continuing to arm the government, providing the tear gas, for example, against the protesters today, and also providing John Timoney, a super cop from the New York City, who also was head of the police in Philadelphia as well as in Miami, who used very harsh and controversial tactics against Americans who were out in the streets protesting against neoliberal policies, for example, during the Republican National Convention, or during other movements against justice, these free trade conferences. And John Timoney actually sent in police officers to spy on people. He violated civil rights. He used many, many controversial tactics, violence. There were numerous complaints against him. He also was a great person who managed the media, who managed the propaganda. So what we saw today coming out of Bahrain was Bloomberg News Agency saying that hundreds of protesters were in Bahrain and they were attacking the police, which is just such a gross misrepresentation of the hundreds of thousands of people peacefully you know, marching down the street and demanding their freedom. So I think what this is going to show is that, you know, although the United States wants to manage the crisis like it manages its people back in the States, you know, Bahrain is a dictatorial regime, as your other guests have said, and using private police tactics or using public police tactics, they're still going to outrage the people and they're still going to come out and demand their rights. They're not going to let any of this stop them. So I think really the regime has to rethink its policy when it comes to the Bahraini people, and as well as the American administration is going to have to rethink how it handles this crisis.
Well, let's talk about the American administration and how it has dealt with this, Syed Shahabi. Please clarify for us if there are any people out there who are under the illusion what this U.S. strategy is, because it seems pretty obvious that unlike their views of being behind protesters in other Arab countries, that they have a military approach to quell the protests, such as our guest Sarah Marissa talked about, the Florida police commissioner who was had been deployed to train the Saudi-backed regime forces there.
Well, unfortunately, the United States has always supported the losing side in any conflict. They supported the apartheid regime in South Africa. They and the British supported Ian Smith in Rhodesia in the 60s and 70s. They supported Saddam Hussein during the war with Iran. They continue to support the older oppressive regime. They still continue to support the Saudi regime, which is the most oppressive, repressive, and reactionary regime in the world. So, unfortunately, their approach to humanity and to human rights is lukewarm, to say the least. They are very much against the popular movements, against revolutions, against toppling their allies who are dictators. And we let us not forget their stand even in the Philippines in the 80s. Only at the last minute did they intervene and ask Marcos, Ferdinand Marcos, to move out. So unfortunately, their tactic has not really yielded any positive results to them. In Bahrain, as you correctly mentioned, they sent to us, to our people, a man who was described by the Miami New Times in 2007 as the worst American cop, policeman. And he is there since he came with John Yates from the British Metropolitan Police. Both have really contributed to worsening crisis of human rights. Many more people died. More repressive means of attack against the people. More lethal gases have been used against demonstrators and against people inside their own homes. So all these tactics have failed to dislodge the people from their demand. And what we saw today is testimony to the fact that the American policy has failed. And unless they really change their tactic and switch their allegiance and alliance with this dictatorial regime, their credibility would really diminish, the loss of their credibility, because they are already on the losing side on world affairs. So I think Mr. Obama has a lot to consider if he is going to win the elections in the next few months.
Well, I think decisions were made prior to that. Colin Cavell, maybe Americans are seeing that their allies are dropping. We saw what happened in Tunisia and in Egypt. But let's look at the big picture here. U.S. military cells, let's focus on that. The six Persian Gulf nations that are being, at this point, set up to spend $70 billion in U.S. weaponry and equipment just this year, not counting the $70 billion sale to Saudi Arabia, and as much as $80 billion through the year 2015, with Saudi Arabia being the largest purchaser. The very same countries that are involved now in suppressing not only this revolution, but other ones, while some of these countries are arming opposition in other countries, such as Syria. So this is a United States way of making sure that these revolutions don't throw off balance, as it has been called, a counter-revolution.
You're right, Kaveh. The U.S. is supporting financially, militarily, and morally these regimes, or at least that is what our government is doing. However, I can tell you there are many people in the State Department, the U.S. State Department, who are acting on a guilty conscience, because they know this is in direct violation of our country's support, or at least avowed support, for democratic principles. They know this is hypocrisy, hypocrisy on a scale that is outrageous. I mean, here we are trying to support the ouster of the Syrian regime by having Qatar and Saudi Arabia fund the opposition. These are monarchies. These are dictatorships. They have absolutely no interest in democracy. Whereas in Bahrain, we have a clear indication of more than half the population on the streets of Bahrain demanding the ouster of their 128-year-old monarchy. As you said, Kaveh, this is percentage-wise the largest opposition, the largest uprising of all of the Arab Spring revolts, clearly supported by the majority of the population. And as Mr. Shahabi said, the tactics of the U.S. in supporting the monarchy are not working. They are not working. And as Ms. Sarah said, the support of John Timoney or John Yates, these murderous mercenaries for the regime, is only adding fuel to the fire and lending the people to be more united in their resolve, in their resolution, and they will not back down.
Sarah Marisek, the U.S. strategy, pumping military equipment, weaponry into the countries in the Middle East, especially the Persian Gulf countries. Isn't the United States taking a huge gamble on some of these countries, given that some of them are in danger of falling, such as Saudi Arabia?
Absolutely, and especially because we have this pumped-up war machine getting ready to attack Iran. If the Bahraini revolution is successful next week, the Americans are going to have a lot of problems in figuring out a new way to manage any potential Iraq on, any attack on Iran. And so they're gambling here, and I don't think that they're really. My critique of my government is that they never truly listen to what people are saying on the ground. They never really make an effort to find out what the truth is, and they just meet with officials, and they listen to lies, and maybe they don't believe them, but they don't challenge them. And so I agree with your other guest that there are people in the State Department who are probably morally very upset at the actions that they're being asked to take. However, you know, in Washington, it's not morality that rules, it's interest, it's money, it's the corporations that are going to be making billions of dollars from giving the weapons to the Bahraini dictators, which are used against peaceful demonstrators. And so I don't think that, you know, it makes me laugh because it's often said of American supposed enemies that they're irrational. But really, you know, when you look at American policy, when it comes down to it, I think unethical policies are actually quite irrational because they don't weigh in the consequences of these actions. So, for example, over the last several months, there have been these police attacks, gross police attacks in, you know, people's houses. They go in and they spray tear gas, and children have died. And this has happened outside of the capital city, so nobody's seen it. The international media rarely gets a view of this. But it has enraged the population further, so that what happens today, we see the biggest demonstration yet. So it just shows that their crass way of analyzing the situation throughout the Middle East, and in their narrow vision of looking at it through a very bizarre strategic analysis, just is not working and is actually going to create them more problems. And we're seeing this in Egypt, and we're going to see it in other countries too.
Syed Shahabi, nothing has worked in this past year. Even concessions haven't come into play to bear any results. More and more people, though, from regional countries are siding with the Bahrainis. We saw what happened in Iraq yesterday. Of course, Eastern Saudi Arabia, it's almost on a weekly basis, if not every week. And countries that have experienced revolutions recently, like Tunisia and Egypt, we're seeing people come out more. Do you think, since nothing else is working, that maybe these countries somehow are going to be involved in the situation in Bahrain? And if you can tell us if it's a possibility, in what form?
Well, I think those countries, especially those which have experienced revolutions, must be aware of the counter-revolutionary forces. This counter-revolution is working very hard, financed by the Saudis and the Americans, And the aim of which is to dislodge those revolutions, as we saw in Egypt, that the military council is still in charge, and as we saw in Tunisia with the Salafi movements trying to disrupt life and to undermine the revolution. Of course, now what we saw yesterday in Iraq and in other countries and in Tunisia, the support that's coming out to the Bahraini revolution is astounding, is very much appreciated by the people of Bahrain, who have felt so far being abandoned by the international community. At least now something is beginning to trickle down. And the people of the region are aware that sectarianism is a tool of the counter-revolution. And it is not going to be used only in Bahrain, but it is also going to be used, and it is being used in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Yemen, and elsewhere. And of course, it was used in Iraq extensively. However, the Iraqis now are becoming more aware of it and abandoning that tool. So the Bahrainis are aware that there will be eventually some support coming from regional powers, from regional countries, regional people, but also at the same time that all in the West itself, there will be a realization that there is no use of continuing to support a dictatorship that will only help to build up the tendency towards fanaticism, radicalism, and terrorism. And terrorists have come from countries which are dictatorial, like Saudi Arabia, not from the countries which have a degree of democracy. So it is in the interest of the international community to help and support a peaceful transfer to civilian rule in Bahrain. Otherwise, even Saudi Arabia will fall in the next few months or few years, because these regimes are not sustainable. They cannot be sustained, and they have to go. And the sooner they go, the better for the world. Right. Otherwise, the world will have to pay the consequences of terrorism and extremism supported and financed by the Saudi oil money.
Right. And but the question is, how many countries can they, as you mentioned, Saeed Shahabi, how many countries can they keep trying to put the fire of the revolution out? Colin Cavell, my question to you. Saudi Arabia obviously is very paranoid and scared that any change in Bahraini's leadership, for example, or even any concessions given, would have a ripple effect in their kingdom. They're going around trying to put out fires everywhere where there's a democracy coming into play. Our guest Saeed Shahabi mentioned many countries, and as Saeed Shahabi also said, they've been called the counter-revolution of the Arab Spring. Is Bahraini's only saving grace then for Saudi Arabia to fall?
Well, Kaveh, it is a regional situation, and what happens in Bahrain will also have to happen in Saudi Arabia and the other GCC countries. And it's long overdue, the removal of these outdated regimes, these monarchical regimes which have no place in the modern world and which only alienate the entire populations. Saudi Arabia, of course, is basically a fascist state to most Americans who don't know that. It is the most repressive regime on the earth today. And they're trying to keep the democracy movement from spreading by crushing it in Bahrain. But as Mr. Shahabi pointed out, the show of support today is outstanding. After a year of arrests, of torture, of murders, of continuous tear gases, this shows that the people are completely resolved to oust this monarchical dictatorship, because they realize that there will be no better time to do it than now, when they are united and they are resolved, and especially as the regime is going to target anybody in the opposition. So it's an existential question. They have to come out, stand up for democracy, stand up for their freedom, and they are doing it. And the State Department, the U.S. State Department, needs to make a decision, because if they continue, as Ms. Marasek says, to support this regime, the U.S. is going to lose all of its interest in the regime and all of its interest in the region. Yes, interests dictate what the U.S. and other countries do, and the U.S. has to realize that their interests of keeping that Fifth Fleet base there is at stake. So either they're going to act to support the opposition, or they are going to go down to a crushing defeat.
Couldn't end the show without sending our wishes and well-being for Abdul Hadi Al-Khawaja, who is a human rights activist who is on a hunger strike in a hospital. Thank you all for your statements. Let me thank from Bahraini Freedom Movement, Said Al-Shahabi from London. Also, former assistant professor at the University of Bahrain, Colin Covell from Austin, and political analyst Sarah Marusek from Beirut. And thank you, the viewer, for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. From me, Kavitha Voyi, and the entire team, it's goodbye.